Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Remember that old saying, it's better to give than to receive?
Yes!
Well, give yourself a thrill with the new Home Alone 2 Super Nintendo video game. Also available for your Game Boy and Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, great. My Nintendo Entertainment System.
That's right. NES for short. Everyone, welcome back or to, for the first time, Play Retro. That's right, Play Retro. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and this game in Christmas mode all over... What did I say? And is this game in Christmas mode all year long? If so, we're going to have a problem. Oh, wait. I really like these games. Screw it. I'm Santa forever.
Satan forever. Santa forever. War on Christmas. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I just stood in line for like 2 hours to have the opportunity to sit on the lap of a 1990s fat era mall Santa and so somewhere like that. And he smells like Corn Dog 7 and Orange Julius. I did all that just to ask for a Sega Saturn with a 3D controller. And do you know what he said to me? You have any idea?
He said, F off.
He said, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Oh. Anywho. I'm on the naughty list. Can I come over and play with your stuff?
Okay. Do you have that Saturn controller, the big fatty with the sticks?
No, I want it. I want the 3D controller, especially after this this episode that we're doing today, which is we're talking about these Christmas specials. And one of those specials is Christmas Nights into Dreams. And I've never played Nights into Dreams. We're going to get deep into that later.
Yeah.
But, man, I may have found a new love.
The game's great. I love the Nights into Dreams games. I bought the Christmas one back in the day. I don't know where that disc ended up, but I owned it for a long time. And I had the 3D controller.
Did you get it free with a magazine, or did it come with another game, or did you send in shipping money?
Okay, so what I think happened is I had Nights into Dreams, and I didn't have the new controller. There was word at Software Etc. If you went in there and bought the new controller, they would give you that holiday season, you would also get a copy of the Christmas game. Which also, I think, just like you said, showed up in game magazines.
They were giving it away every way they could. Yeah.
Which is weird, but whatever. It's like a promo item. And ironically enough, I actually enjoyed the Christmas one better than the main game. At least I remember doing that. But I've got big questions about this one now, which we'll get into shortly. Before we do any of that, I want to tell a brief tale of what happened to my favorite emulation retro gaming device.
Uh-oh. Your Steam Deck that you ripped the knob off of?
Yeah, I did. Well, it didn't totally come off, but I jammed the knob so hard by it falling off of a surface and then landing or catching on a chair rail or something. We're still trying to figure out what happened. It bonked the right analog stick out to the point that I was either going to have to tear the whole thing apart and do it myself, or break it by forcing it, or contacting Valve to see what they'd do. So I did that. I think I talked to some about this last week, but I talked to Valve. They said, oh, you have more than 2,000 games on Steam. You're awesome. Why don't we take care of this for you? So they said, here's a prepaid shipping thing. Send it back to us. If we can fix it, we will. And then send you back the device. If we can't, we'll send you a brand new one, same equivalent specs. And I said, well, that sounds great. So that's what I did. It's currently in their hands. I'm waiting for a word back on what's going on with that thing.
That's awesome.
I bugged but me, you though, broke something else. I miss it. I miss it terribly.
So that's not what you broke then? I thought you said
no, that is what I broke. That's what I broke.
Oh.
So now I'm waiting for the damn thing, and I can't. And my favorite place to play emulation is not no longer in my hands. Here's the worst part. When you do it, and then they say send it back for repair, they say remove everything and reset it to factory settings.
I hate that.
So take everything off with a SD card if you want to, or whatever you're going to do, which I did. And then you got to wipe it. Now I got to do all that again when it comes back.
I know.
I don't want to do that
so
again.
It's not so hard. If you have a Steam Deck or don't have a Steam Deck, think about getting one for Christmas. Maybe you're getting one for Christmas. Happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And so it's not too bad, but it is the installer for the Emu Deck is not bad. But then you have to go back and you have to install everything. This is the bane of my existence with retroing, because it's just like constantly going, I need to scrape for my image files again. I got to put my ROMs over where they belong. I got to find those BIOS files again that I've totally deleted, and I don't know where the crap I put them at.
Crap, I forgot. Now that you say that, that reminds me that I spent a ton of time. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I spent so much time keeping it awake, because you can't do it while it sleeps, keeping it awake and letting it scrape, not wanting to sub to the freaking scrape fee. To get it faster, so I'm just letting it do one by one, and I got the entire SNES, entire GBA, and entire Genesis libraries completely done. Thousands of games done, and now I got to do that.
Scott flicking.
I got to do that again. I would look over. I would like have a little timer go off every 30 seconds. Go. I'd look over to my Steam Deck, flick a stick, and then it would keep going.
Oh my god!
Flick a stick, keep going. I don't want to do that again.
I still have to scrape mine. So I will try that this week. It's one of the ones I want to do, because I like using Emulation Station on my Steam Deck. Part of the Emu Deck, if you install it, you can choose to put RetroArch and Emulation Station. And so I'm gonna work on that this week, and maybe I can figure out some things.
Sure.
And maybe that'll be your Christmas gift.
Let me know. Your gift to me.
Free time.
Yep, there you go. And also, someone in the chat says a way to back up your Steam Deck. There absolutely is a way to back up everything that's on there, but I wasn't really in a position to do it. I wanted to hurry and send it so I can maybe get it back before Christmas. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I was ready to play.
That's what I used to do too.
I was going to play Midnight Suns on that thing. By the way, Potion. What's that potion game we played back in the Boop days?
I love Potion. Potion Craft.
Potion Crafter.
No, I think it's Potion Craft. I think it's just as simple
as Potion Craft. Anyway, that hit 1.0 today. That's cool.
Oh, yes. They finally got to the 1-0. That was such a fun game. Yep. I can't wait to see all the full tree that they had. They hadn't finished doing.
I'm going to go back to it and check it out. But I was looking forward to playing that on the deck. It was Steam Deck verified. Can't do that. Can't do anything until it gets back. So don't be like me and screw things up. That's the rule. That's the lesson.
You just need to order a second one.
Very nice.
Back up.
We talked a ton about Brian's new 3D printer in the pre-show. So if you're not a patron, you may want to sign up and hear all this 3D printer talk that we had in the pre-show. In addition to that, Eric sent you something cool. What'd you get?
That's right. Voltaire, our friend Voltaire. And I don't know if Voltaire's here or not today, but he's a great community member on Mission Deep and Frog Pants server. He sent me he changed my life. We were doing film sack recording the other day, and it arrived. It was brought into my office as it was in the film sack, and Scott probably heard me say, "Holy shit!" Because that's exactly what I thought when I opened it. I knew Voltaire was sending me a Game Boy player for my GameCube. I've been looking for one of these.
Bastard.
And exactly, because the GameCube player is not so expensive. They're like about $60. Not too bad. But then to have the Game Boy player disc is anywhere between $100 and $150.
Yeah.
They're just super rare. So you've got to do some modding first. Voltaire sent me the disc and the player. And so it's solved. And then he stacked on stacks all these crazy Pokemon and all these games that I'm going to play this next year that I've never gotten. I've never played anything more than like Pokemon Go. And so look at all these colors of Pokemon. We've got a black one. This is just the original trading card game. We got that silver edition, a gold, a couple of gold editions, a red edition.
Where did he get all these? He just owned them
over time. Blue Sapphire, some kind of sparkly thing. But I've never played Pokemon.
Some kind of sparkly
to any effect. Some kind of sparkly blue one. Yeah. Yeah. But man,
that's awesome. You have better friends on the internet than I do. Nobody sends me cool shit.
Well, man, we hang out a good bit on the Discord server. He's a great guy. And so, but this is just a small sample of all the games he sent me. He sent me, and I'll talk about him in short order, but I don't want to like I said, he just sent me a whole ton of stuff and sent me some of my favorite things, my favorite pieces of art, sent me some great pieces of art, and then sent me these as well. You ever mess with these little, melted bead things? Yeah, they're Shy Guys. You ever mess with these little melted bead things?
Yeah, when my kids were little, we'd make those all the time. Never made Shy Guys, though. It's pretty cool.
No, me either. I've been wanting to do some of those, and so this has inspired me as well as some artwork he included in that. So him and his significant other were kind enough. She was kind enough to pack all that stuff, and it was great. It was like opening a million Christmas gifts at one time. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Real quick, I'll show you what somebody sent me. I wish it was a box of retro stuff. Nope. It was this cowboy with a hand missing. See this?
I got it. Oh, no, wait. Is he a what? Is it? He's a cowboy with a hand. Is he like a specific cowboy?
Nope. Just a cowboy. Made out of resin or something.
You just got a rando package.
A rando package. It was originally made in China and sold for $20 at a Hobby Lobby, it says, here on here.
Right, right.
And it's just a cowboy. I think his hand may have had a gun, or maybe this hand. No, this hand has a cigarette or a bullet. So sorry, this hand has a bullet.
It's got a cigarette. That is amazing.
No, it's a bullet. I just thought it was a cigarette. But then the other hand had a gun, like a revolver. He's going to put the thing in, and then we have a proper cowboy man. But no. They just sent me a one-armed cowboy man.
So and you looked all through the box, right? Through it.
Yeah, there was nothing in there, and there was no name. So I get weird shit in the mail, dude.
That is fan freaking. You know what you need? You need to 3D print that thing.
I guess I do.
I'll 3D print you a hand.
3D print a replacement hand. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got one more thing to talk about. It is Christmas time. This is our Christmas special. I hope you're enjoying it. We'll be doing not Christmas stuff after this. But I was hoping we would get this out in time so people didn't have a chance to enjoy it.
Sure.
I've been watching all my holiday specials, and I was looking to stream Olive the Other Reindeer.
Oh, I love that movie.
I love that Christmas special. It's so
great.
Good.
It's great.
It's not streaming anywhere except YouTube, and apparently Fox just doesn't give a crap. It's just some rando on there has posted all of the other reindeer. And actually, a couple of randos. There's a rando there, and there's a rando who included all of the original commercials that ran at the time, which I kind of want to watch. I want to do that because I'm thinking what I'm going to do because I got back into my Emu VR again this past week. I think I'm going to run all of the other reindeer on my headset in my virtual 90s room and just chill out. I think I'm going to do that one day this weekend.
I think you should. I think that's great.
I think it's going to be amazing. But yeah, I love all the other reindeer. And I've talked to a few people since then. I'm like, hey, you guys find all of the reindeer anywhere on stream? And they're like, what? I never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. What? No, people that haven't heard of that movie are missing out. I know it's a little bit rare. We had it on DVD or something years ago, and I don't know what happened to it since, but it is one of the most wonderful little things.
Yeah, it was a children's book. It looks like 2D, but it was rendered in 3D. It's got Homer Simpson's voice as the bad guy. It's got Drew Barrymore as the lead Olive, the other reindeer.
Yeah.
It's got R.E.M. music in it. It's got R.E.M. in it. I love it.
The style is amazing. It's this weird 2D, 3D thing, and it is awesome. Highly recommend
It's based on a book, but it's a little more cheeky in the cartoon form.
Yeah. Yes, it's very, very good. And it's Olive. The other reindeer.
Olive. Yeah, that's the whole running joke. I'll spoil that part for you. They think they hear Olive, the other reindeer. The dog's name is Olive. And when he says all of the other reindeer, they mishear it. And that's the whole Three's Company joke for the holiday special.
Yes, it's exactly correct. And it is what it is. And you just live with it. You groove on it. Okay.
You groove on it.
That's what you do. Awesome. Well, that's great to hear. I am excited to do a thing to your screen real quick. Hold on. Here's Brian.
Oh, what happened?
I'm just going to make you a little more festive. Hold on.
No, make me more festive, man.
Don't worry about this. I'm going to go.
Oh, look at that.
Hold on.
I've got lights in my face.
Wow. Okay.
That's so nice. There. I like that. I feel like I'm at the local Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, that's where you want to be.
Yeah.
And now we have lights and we look like a proper Christmas special today.
I love this. This is fun. Yeah, I like this.
It's really nice. Where'd
you get the snow from? Don't tell me now. I'll show it to you later.
I found a really cool source of snow.
That's a good one.
And it's perfect. It just sort of repeats and looks like dandruff. It's fantastic.
It's big chunky flakes. I like that.
That's what you want when it snows. Flakes. That's what we got going right now. So I like some chunky snow. All right, let's get into it. It is our game discussion of the week. Let's get into the Christmas games of old.
Shall we play a game?
Indeed. Let's talk about a couple of games, a handful of games, really. And we're going to start with the one you mentioned earlier. I still think the best Christmas game ever made. I may be wrong about this, but I'm going to call it that.
I rated each of these, and I didn't rate them like 1, 2, 3, because these are such different games from different time periods.
Yeah.
I just said this one gets rating of the best.
Yeah, and it's
everything
just,
I play.
It's still a lot of fun. The problem with it is what I'm about to play. This is horrendous. Do not let this stop you.
I know what you're going to play, and I love this part. It's so charming. Go ahead.
Don't let this stop you from playing this game. Remember the era this happened. It's the 90s. Voiceover for games that came from Japan was not good. We don't do what we do today. All right? It was a very different time. You've heard Barry a million times, right?
This eats Barry. This eats Barry's
Jill.
Butt. It's much better.
It is better than, well, is it? Anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of it.
Before you do that, we'll talk real quick. I got to get out there. Holidays, Brian's tolerance for crap increases.
Does it?
So that I can consume the crap that is being fed to me. So I'll always give a grade on a curve when it comes to Christmas.
Okay, no, that's good to know. With that in mind, here's this.
The city is covered with Christmas decorations, and people are looking for presents for their loved ones. Among them are Elliot and Clarice. They all look rushed. That gentleman, that lady, that old man. Why do they have to walk that fast?
So
in the crowd, they feel something important is missing. The streets look so beautiful. This is the most cheerful time of the year. But it seems like nobody is paying any attention to something important. Walking down the street, they find themselves in the middle of Twin Seed City.
What is this nonsense?
I love it. I feel like I'm at a Christmas play. I feel like I'm at school. I feel like there's, like I said, I feel like I'm at you know, the middle school play. One of the teachers is up there setting the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
I
knew you would. I knew you would. When I first was working on that and getting that audio, I went, you know what? Brian's going to tell me he likes this. And I'm not going to believe him.
If it was something in the middle of July, I'd be like, no, I'm going to need a pro actor here. But there's something about Christmas that makes me go, I like tacky. I like amateur.
Yeah.
I like all of it.
Okay, then you're like my wife, except with her, it's those horrible Hallmark crap. She loves that stuff, and it's got the same problem. You know, it's like the same issue, just on a television standard. But anyway, here's what the game actually sounds like, and this is where I think it wins me over. Nice. So the game gets to use actual open source, or not open source, but like public domain Christmas music.
Yeah.
And have their own little versions and stuff. If you never played the Knights games, this was Sonic Team. All right. Mm-hmm. Folks behind all the Sonic games. This was their attempt to make a must buy title for the Sega Saturn that was 3D. It was kind of their way of also proving that the device was capable of more 3D, even though the brand new Sony Fast. PlayStation 2 was kind of eating their lunch and making them look bad. And it really wasn't meant to be much of a 2D or a 3D console. So this was their attempt to do that. Big, colorful, fast graphics, zipping around. You look like a court jester, basically. In the Christmas version, you're much more colorful and everything's Christmas themed. Again, it was mainly a promo, but I actually think the game played really well. It was good. Yeah. But it's,
this,
you know,
is actually,
yeah, go ahead.
I've never played any of this. I've been waiting. I've been wanting to get one of the controllers in so I could play it on my Saturn before I played this game. And I, at first, hated it. I was like, oh, what is going on? My controls are literal. They're not inverted, like mm-hmm. for flying.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just like, all what is this flying even doing now? I don't understand how I'm positioned in the world.
It's not Nothing true 3D anyway. Sense. It's all on rails in terms. It's a 2D game play, but right. presented in 3D space. So,
yeah, and,
important to know.
But once I played it for a little bit, and I'm like, oh, you're kind of like in a sphere, and you're flying around. And once I got used to going, you know, literal down, and it would take me down, it started growing on me, and then mm-hmm. the story kind of took over, and then the music kind of took over, and then I was just like, I'm in, and I couldn't stop playing this game. And this is a full level that is in the real game, but it's Christmas themed,
right?
And it's a standalone, and if you adjust the clock to different times, I didn't know this until today. It'll like during December, the month of December will be decorated. If you get out of December, it's just back to normal, that single yep. level,
back to that level. And
then,
again.
Yeah. And then you can do the same for New Year's. It has a different thing, which I didn't try. And then there's one for April Fool's Day as well.
This is what an era of games did to maintain the illusion that Christmas is coming. Christmas is here and Christmas is over. Oh, it's back again. Yeah. And they did it through the system clock. Think, you know, like the original, GameCube in America, but N64, for Japan, a version of Animal Crossing had this very feature where you were like, all right, winter is based on this clock. And some people would cheat and go back in time and,
of course,
you know, or jump ahead and say, well, now all my shit's grown. I didn't have to wait for 3 days or whatever.
They used that smart on us and they started effing us over when we did that.
Yes, they did.
Animal Crossing.
So now what they, you know, most games have, a lot of games, especially games as a service, think like World of Warcraft and, I don't know, Destiny, Overwatch. Well, Overwatch as well. But, like, they have these events. Yeah. And seasonal, they do it for Halloween. They do it for Christmas. They do it for various times of the year, Chinese New Year, that sort of thing. And that's all server-side. They take care of it. You don't have to think about it mm-hmm. type thing. Very different world than back then, where everything was dependent on whether you put the correct date in your damn system or not.
Yeah, and if you had the disc, and yeah. they were trying to get these. A lot of these end up being, not intentionally, but a lot of these games we end up looking at, were in the 90s when magazines were having a moment. We were actually having a, especially with gaming, and so they were distributing a lot of freeware, shareware demos and that type of thing on these discs. And this is one I never got because I didn't have a Saturn back in the day. But you couldn't hardly not get it though, as much as they were giving this away.
Oh yeah,
Saturn.
Heck yeah, it was hard to. I mean, they really were trying to promo this thing and say, hey, look, the Saturn's capable of some very cool graphics. Quit telling us the PS1's superior. Blah blah blah. Even though it's kind of true. Here's the thing though. The gameplay itself. I just want to focus on that for a second, since you know that's what the show's about. The gameplay is very. Think of something you would maybe one touch button type game, endless runner type game you might play on a phone these days. That is what it was. Now at the time, you know, no, there's nothing else quite like this. And so this one mechanic of zooming in and out and going up and down and through and weird boss fights and all that stuff seemed really novel. Today you would find about a million mobile games that play just like this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but if you're trying to understand how it plays, it plays like think of a side scrolling endless runner, but one that's has you flying. There are actually a bunch, I can't think of any names, but there's a ton of games on the app stores that play a bunch like this. And
well, like Scott said, it's on rails in 3D somewhat, because you're kind of in a lane when you're going around this, like in a circle mm-hmm. Around the map. And so yeah, you're kind of locked in, so you don't have total freedom. You just got up, down.
I have a game called Orbital. I have a brand new indie game, sort of new indie game called Orbital Bullet, I think.
Is it on mobile now? Because we played it on the
That
PC.
Was a Boob Show thing, and that's still on PC as far as I know. I don't think it's on mobile. But I'm getting at is that's a game that immediately reminded me of Knights when I played it. There's a lot more going on. You're shooting and other stuff, but it's this idea of you're in a rotating 3D space and you're sort of locked there. You can't right. come toward the camera. The camera will shift and do dynamic things, but it's not that you're moving somewhere special. It's the camera moving.
The more I played this, the more I realized I'm like, okay, this really makes sense. Because at first, when I heard of Saturn was going to get this game instead of like a Sonic game proper, I was from the Sonic team. I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Why are they doing a Sonic? It makes sense because flying in this game engine wouldn't really work for Sonic because he's more of a ground kind of guy. But it still feels like you're playing a Sonic game because it's still got you're trying to increase speed. You're hitting these speed pushes and stops. And you're also zipping. There's like a zip button that like lets you zip quickly in a direction. So it's kind of like Sonic in a lot of ways, the way it plays, even though it's visually different.
I agree. It's clearly a Sonic team game.
Right.
This and the game it's based on, obviously the bigger game. And I wouldn't mind a fresh take on it. I don't know what it would be today. They just put out a new Sonic game that's doing very well.
Right.
Sonic, crap, what's it called?
Sonic Crab. That's my favorite one. How'd you know? Let me spin it up.
Open world Sonic thing. I forgot the name of it. Chat room, what is it? It's doing pretty well. It sold like 3 million copies already. It's like succeeding. But could they do that with Knights again? I don't know. This gameplay sort of depends on it being 2.5D. And
it's a very simple game. Even though it looks very complex, the gameplay is very simple. I do like the time mechanic where it's like you got to collect so many items and drop them off into a Christmas tree. None of that makes sense, but you trust me, when you play it, it makes sense. And you're all on a clock, and if you run out of time, you lose your flying suit and you have to walk because you're now one of the humans.
And it sucks. By the way,
it sucks when that happens because if you don't make it to the place where you need to be, it really sucks. You have to walk back and there's this big floating arrow telling you which direction to go. And the whole time there's a clock chasing you going. Yeah. So, man, if you like fantasy themes, I love this fantasy world. It's a lot of fun.
It's pretty cool. I would recommend it. I would. And I think it's one of the more standout Christmas specific experiences that the games ever did.
I think it was this. If you're planning on playing some Christmas games, emulate this puppy, which is what I did. I did it on RetroArch. I tried to emulate it in Mr. FPGA, but the core is still very alpha. Early on, didn't have any luck there. And then something happened on my Steam Deck and I couldn't do it right.
Oh, weird.
But then I tried on RetroArch too, and I realized that everything is out of date. And once I've updated that, it worked.
Yeah, the updates, that's the thing with that. When you do the RetroArch thing on the deck EMU or whatever, you got to go in there once in a while and check.
Yeah.
Check
and
for
how. It's on archive.org, Christmas Nights into Dreams. Yeah. Like I said, it was pretty much just given away for free. Yeah, you're going to be pretty solid and easy to find most of these games.
Is this one of those you can play on the browser or no?
Don't know because the software project that is on archive.org does not support a Saturn emulation. Mm. They do DOS, Commodore 64. There's a couple of more that are on there that I've played.
It's kind of everything but Nintendo up to a point.
Yeah, right. And it's also according to, once you get into the 16-bit era, I don't think the browser has the support.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that, but
how it is. That sounds right to me. They have some MAME stuff in there as well, or some arcade stuff.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. MAME stuff is huge on there.
Pretty good.
That was the whole start.
All right. Let's talk about, for a lot of people growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, you had a Christmas movie like none other called Home Alone.
Kevin!
It's very popular. John Hughes joint. Although, didn't he write? No. It was the second one he wrote, and Chris Columbus directed it.
Right.
The Explorer.
I always get those confused.
Yeah, I forget too.
Always get confused. But I think sometimes
he'll
do
that. He'll write things like he wrote Christmas Vacation, but somebody else directed it. But then most of the things he would write, he would also direct. John Hughes is a modern genius. Nobody appreciated him nearly as much as we do now. But anyway. Home Alone was a movie that for a lot of people is the Christmas movie for them. And, of course, they made video game adaptations. Let's start with this one with some sound. Here you go. Whoops, wrong one.
Ooh. I'm home alone.
Home alone. Who's home? I don't know. I'm alone. that Telltale NES music, probably a bit of a giveaway in terms of platform, but this is the first game, and based on the first movie, you control Kevin around a variety of environments, including your house and other places. You actually like can go to other places via like connected ropes and phone lines and other crap to get to like, I guess it's a tree house here that we're looking at.
Yeah, that tracks with the movie because that's one of the things he does. He slides across.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, to get away from the wet bandits.
Yep, and he's always sneaking. And what he does is he collects from the world. I played a bunch of this for the first time because I didn't play this when it came out. I didn't even know about it, but for the show, I decided to give it a shot. He's being chased by, I guess, the two guys that are supposed to be Joe Pesci and
it's supposed to be Harry and Marv.
Yeah,
they kind of look like Harry and Marv. He's got blonde hair, so he doesn't quite. His hair is way too blonde, and he's the way he walks though makes me die laughing because the first time I saw this, it looks like he's broke his hip or something. He's only walking is like his hips stay in place and his legs like go in front of him. It's the weirdest walk, but it makes me laugh.
It's very odd. Now I'm going to show some art from a cutscene in it where I'm going to say,
That's him in the back. Like a 14-year-old kid or something.
Looks wrong up there. It looks just wrong. Down here we got the cop. He's caught them both, and they kind of look like that's not really Joe Pesci looking though.
No,
but he's got this looks like Daniel Stern outfit on. This looks like Daniel Stern, sort of.
It kind of does. They did the best on Daniel Stern. Maybe he's the most easily recognizable as a silhouette. I don't know who that cop is though. But he's very angry.
He's super pissed. He's throwing the book at these guys.
He's the old school six button cop too. You know, he's got the whole six buttons on his shirt.
Nobody's dead. Like Officer O'Malley in the '40s is what this is. Anyway, it is kind of a stealth action game, but not really. The stealth part doesn't really play into it. I wish it did because that was my maybe biggest complaint. You find these things around the house. They're basically trap kits. Yeah. And they look like little box icons, and in them it'll say, oh, this is a thing that'll trap him with this or whatever. And when you lay those down and one of the crooks get behind you, they'll get caught up in the trap. And you're just supposed to keep doing that until...
Yeah, you're in a constant run. You never get to stop. You're running between the house, the tree house, and I guess the basement, but you're all at the McAllister's home and you're trying to evade while dropping off traps.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say I don't think this game's that great. It's okay.
I hate it.
It's really really repetitive. It's very like one note. They don't have much else to show you, and it's also pretty short. You can beat this thing in, let's see, who did I watch
20 play? Minutes because you have to go minutes. You have to yeah it was 20 minutes because you have to avoid being caught for 20 minutes. So you play it in 20 minute segments and it's always the same game every time. You just walk in a circle and they walk faster than you. The crooks walk faster than you. So the only thing you can do is pick up items and slow them down and keep running for 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes straight. So think of it as like a Vampire Survivors run. Those are all 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the game. That's the whole, the $28 or whatever you spent on this.
The same music.
Yeah. You paid about a dollar a minute or more. $2-3 a minute.
Price game, people. This was not like a demo disc that you get from Christmas Nights and the Dreams. This is, you went to the store and you shelled out money. This did not come in a magazine. Mm-mm. No, sir.
No.
You had to intentionally pay for it.
Yeah, it's a... I don't think it's a very good game. It's okay as a look back, but, you know.
This is a renter. You don't have multiplayer, so that would be kind of disappointing. Usually I would rent games to play with friends and stuff, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of how I would play this more than one 20-minute session a year.
No, yeah. I'll never want to pay money for it. I know that.
No. So I gave this one the grade of worst.
Yeah, it's not great. I would say things get a little better. That was 91, by the way. So 91.
Right.
Things got a little better in 91 if you were a Genesis owner. I thought the Genesis game was a little bit better. Here's some obvious sound from that because it sounds like nothing else. So here you go. Listen to that Genesis-ass music.
Yeah. Okay.
Feels like Toe Jam and Earl about to show up anytime. This featured a bunch of different kind of gameplay. You're on a sled for a bunch of it. It's just different. Just different than the other game. I thought it would just be an up-resed, because I played the NES one first, then moved to the Genesis game, and I thought it would just be more of that. It's not.
This happened a lot with intellectual properties during the early 90s when they would do this. They would give development teams for each of the different systems out there running, and they would give them some certain parameters, and then they were allowed to do any type of gameplay that would be appropriate for the devices on. So it's nothing like the same game other than you're once again trying to run from the wet bandits and you're trying to slow them down and stop them.
Yes, except the one big difference is he ends up in this lab that's got nothing to do with anything that was never in the game or in the movie, sorry.
The movie, yeah. Almost nothing was in the movie that's going on here. It's a totally different thing. You've got an overworld section where you're riding on the neighborhood on a sled to get from house to house because the wet bandits are working their way through the neighborhood, stealing and drowning the houses. And so you have to go to each of the houses and prep work traps throughout the house. And then you're trying to slow them down enough so the police get there in 20 minutes. And you can do some shooting and stuff so you can actually... There's a lot more collectibles, a lot more places to go, and a little bit of strategy you can use. So I'm going to give this one a little bit higher rating than that.
Definitely better than the NES one. Yeah, 100% better. Yeah. I don't know. The SNES, Genesis both got Home Alone 2 when that movie came out. I did not try those games this week.
I didn't even look at them. I was like, I think I know what they're doing here.
Yeah. I think we've seen kind of what they're going to do total.
Right.
And I'm not sure
what
else.
Look at this little arcade room, though. I don't know. I never saw this. But yeah, if you're looking for something that ties in with the movie, you're not going to see it much other than the game mechanic of you trying to defeat the wet bandits. That's pretty much the whole game mechanic and all these different ports that came out at that time.
Now, the one thing I will say, I think this sort of game, had it been made today, would have had more opportunities. There's a game called Party Hard and Party Hard 2. There's two of them.
Oh.
And they're kind of retro looking. They're new games, but they're indie developed games where it's a bunch of pixel stuff going on and you've got to do a bunch of stealth things and kill people, assassinate certain targets, hide them, make sure the cops didn't see you do it, put the body in a dumpster. Think Hitman level type stuff, you know? And a game like, or an engine like that, and a gameplay mechanic, a set of mechanics like that, I think would work well for this. Like a top-down thing where these two are after you all the time and you got to do creative sort of top-down three-quarter view trickery and traps and stuff to clear levels or whatever. I think there's a game there.
Yeah, but I think it's smart. I think being chased by something and then having to lay traps, that's a real good, simple game mechanic to build a game around.
I agree. You probably find that somewhere on eBay. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
It's okay. It's a fine game. It's fine.
It's okayest.
All right. Now the one I've never played.
Me either. Not until this past week. And a couple people recommended it or had seen it. And I was like, okay, we'll check this out.
Definitely curious about this. Let me play a little audio for you, folks.
Can you hear the C64? Can you hear that ship?
Jeez, that C64 audio, man. You can't deny that. Listen to that. I mean, that's going right to my loins and making them ache.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord. Anyway, that's about all the sound it has, in fact. The game itself does not have much in terms of audio presentation, which is unfortunate for an audio show. But this is a side-scrolling thing called The Official Father Christmas from on the C64 from 1989. And at the time, there was a charity for this, right? Explain that. How did this game come to be?
Yeah, so there is a charity. It's a charity for something that still exists today. It's called Save the Children Charity. And they sold this game for roughly £2.99. What is that? It's pounds. £2.99.
Whatever that would be back then. I don't know what
that would have been. Yeah. It eventually made it, I think, to the U.S. in some form or fashion. But yeah, it was all the donations went straight to Save the Children Charity. Very short game. You probably could finish this in 6 minutes or so. It's got three stages. You're playing as Santa Claus in the first stage, and you're trying to collect parts for the sleigh. But you got the Christmas elves are in your house for some reason, and if you run into one of them, they steal his parts, and so you have to like constantly avoid them while climbing up and down ladders.
It's Donkey Kong later stages when you're avoiding the fire guys and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what this is.
Pretty much that. I played the whole way through on archive.org using the number pad to navigate. And it's fine. It's actually really funny though, but the cover art was the seller. Whoever did the cover art for this game Can't judge a book by its cover. Dude, I loved it. Second level, it gets a little, it gets more like where you're, the elves are dropping the presents and you have to collect so many of the presents. And there's a time mechanic too, but you're at Santa's Grotto. And once you collect enough of those, then you fly around the world, avoiding planes and dropping little presents off for the little children. Aw, and you help save the children of the world.
Yeah.
How more Christmas can you get? You got to have a little fun.
Yeah.
And a little world peace. And joy and happiness.
I'm going to give him this. A lot of games of that era, when you would go from one screen to the other, there was a big lag moment.
Yeah, none.
This game has none of that. It is like bam, bam, bam. Move from one scene to the other. Don't have to like wait for it to redraw or any of that. Just lickety fast. And that was a big deal.
Do you have that picture?
I'm looking. I couldn't find it.
Oh, wait a second. Let me see.
I don't think it's in that link you gave me.
I sent you Discord. Might be a few messages back. Let me see. I'll reopen here.
Oh, let's see. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Okay, there it is. There it is.
I'll find it. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, you see it? Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing.
It's like the best pixel art I've ever seen
this
in my
black
life.
And white one and is crazy. All right, there it is. Black,
it's so creepy. If I had seen this, there's no way. I'd be like, the children are just going to have to die. Official Father Christmas is what it's called from 1989.
He looks like he's about to go slaughter a family of four, doesn't he?
He really does. He's got like these weird baggy eye things going on, and then his top teeth are hanging down out of his mouth like,
yeah.
It's like, it's just the most, I love it.
It's kind of great.
It's just the best.
It's kind of great.
It's the best. But I give that one the shortest and the weirdest award for our Christmas special. It was short, weird, and awesome too.
Yeah, kind of great. I didn't play it at all, but I did watch a full video of somebody, and I thought it looked better than it had any right to look. I don't know.
It totally gave me that vibe of surfing the internet in like the early 90s, mid 90s, where everything was MIDI Christmas music. That's the thing you would do on your little website. You have little animated, GIFs.
Yep.
And you'd have MIDI music that would auto load that people hated.
Yep.
And, you just have blinking text. It was just absolutely just.
Audio that plays in a browser without your permission was one of the worst eras in the history of browsers.
He was sitting there because the internet used to be super quiet.
Yep.
It was never any noise.
Ah! And you'd hear some MIDI music or some, porn girl moaning or whatever. Yeah, it sucked. You guys don't know how good we have it now with muted tabs and just the general idea that people don't do that.
I think we still get somewhat of the feeling when if your browser does not support YouTube not instantly playing a video when you open a new tab.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Mine doesn't do that, but yeah.
That's true. There's stuff like that, but boy, we're in a better place than we used to be.
A lot better. I can mute tabs now, though.
Of course.
So that's a good thing.
Now, listen to this and see if it's familiar to you at all.
Hail to the king, baby. What are you waiting for? Christmas?
Nah.
All right, get it? It's a Christmas reference.
I get it.
This is Duke Nukem, if it wasn't obvious. And Duke Nukem made a Christmas game called Nuclear Winter. Came out in 1997. It was a free downloadable expansion to Duke Nukem Forever. No, not Duke Nukem Forever, sorry. Just Duke Nukem.
It's got strippers and Christmas trees.
Yep, strippers, Christmas trees, weirdos, stuff to kill. It's Duke Nukem. So if you're wondering what that is, it's just him shooting stuff with, there's some Christmas trees and, lights.
Yeah. It's decorated Duke Nukem. Just like you would do. You change your packs, you throw some costumes on stuff. And they didn't have any new humor because they didn't get the voice actor to come back to do this. So they just kind of used what they had.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you would think it is. I think the story is, Santa Claus has been captured and brainwashed by the aliens that Duke previously defeated. To make matters worse, the aliens are now supported by an enemy force calling themselves the Feminist Elven Militia. So, Duke Nukem.
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
So Duke Nukem's got to travel North Pole.
North Pole. Yeah, everybody wants to go to the North Pole. it's just Duke Nukem with Christmas shit. It almost reminded me of like a mod for Doom.
Exactly what it
or someone just made a Christmas mod for the game.
So log into your into your bulletin boards and find the freeware that is this
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, and it's, look, it's fine. If you like Duke Nukem back then this is fine. It's just,
yeah. You're not going to get the Christmas you're not going to get the Christmas willies or, you know, the Christmas worms or fuzzies, right?
No. I mean, I at this era, this is not the game I played. I was not a Duke Nukem fan. I was more still playing Doom and playing Doom mods until Quake, really.
Right.
And making my own maps and doing all that stuff. So I never even really went near this game. And I never loved the kind of like, hey, baby, I'm here to rub my wiener in front of you or whatever he does. it just isn't my thing. So it might be yours. So if it is, if you're into it, go for it. Yeah. You know,
if you're sick of Christmas, but you're, you know, subconsciously still need a little Christmas left, Duke Nukem, you know, it's the bloodiest of the awards that I'm giving this week. So, yeah.
Oh, that's the bloody award. I think that's fine.
Yeah, it's the bloody awards. It's bloody, it's bloody awful. How about that?
All right. Here's a game series I actually really liked. This comes from a similar era. If you remember a certain, I can't think of it. If you remember the name Cliff Bleszinski.
There you go. Yep.
You might remember his origins when he and another dude made this game. Say this doesn't really have much of a what's the word I'm looking for?
Christmas vibe,
but the game itself does. And this was Cliff and that Andre, what's his name? Can't remember his name. Oh, just flashed up. Yeah. I missed it. Anyway, it's Jazz Jackrabbit, and they made a Christmassy version of the game.
Epic Holiday Mega Hair. Games. Back when Epic was Epic Mega Games?
Still Epic Mega Games, yeah. So this would have been like early pre-Unreal. Yeah. Era. This is so, and it's around the time that the guys over at id were making games like, I guess they were Apogee at the time. I forget how this all went down, but
right,
they were over there making Duke Nukem side scroller. Well, that was 3D Realms. They were doing that. What were they making? They had another thing like this where a dude ran and you shot shit and it was like a platformer. Yeah. What was that called? It's What's wrong with me?
Yeah, it's just a side scrolling platformer, Jazz Jackrabbit with some 90s attitude, green.
Commander Keen, that's what it was. This was the Commander Keen era. Sorry, yes.
Oh, yeah, Commander Keen era. That's a good point. Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, chat. But yeah, the Jazz Jackrabbit is that. Well, okay, let's be honest. Jazz Jackrabbit is trying to sort of be Sonic the Hedgehog, okay?
He totally is.
It's fine.
And it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You be what you want to be, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody was iterating on everybody. Hell, I'm making a card game right now that iterates on like 10 different card games. All right? It's what you do. You improve, you take the thing, and you run with it. But in specific, they had the bouncing things, the springs. You went really fast through tunnels, lots of loops and high speed, whatever. And a pretty good game, you know?
I think the fact that they didn't use Christmas music, I think that this still feels like just an independent level of Jazz Jackrabbit. I feel like you could probably play this any time of year, just like you can watch Die Hard any time of year. Because it's not laced in Christmas. It's just got like, you know, it's got some Christmas imagery in it.
Oh, and this part right here has Christmas music. Here, listen to this.
Not that part. Yeah, that's my favorite.
It's pretty cool, right?
That's my favorite Christmas jingle.
Is it? Sweet. Everybody else in the house is listening to like some old ass 40s thing, and Brian's like, no, turn it on to Jazz Jackrabbit's one-off Christmas game. Gung, gung, boof.
Can you feel it?
That's great. Anyway, it's a fun game. I'm going to put this one up high on the list because I like Jazz Jackrabbit.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
I liked it pretty good. I gave it the 90th, the award for the 90th, and I like the 90s. So
it's 90s as hell. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it was also on this other thing. It was on the PC, and the PC had precious little platformers that were good.
Yeah, yeah. I played this in DOSBox a little bit, and I'll just tell you that I played a lot of DOSBox Christmas games this past week, and I gotta get a better setup for DOSBox, man.
Woo. Yeah. Not liking the setup. What's wrong with the way you're doing it?
Do you think? I just got to get a consistent setup because I had, when we played Alone in the Dark a while back for a previous episode, I really configured the crap out of DOSBox and I made it perfect. But I had forgotten how much time I had spent doing that. And then when I played Jazz Jackrabbit and the one we're about to talk about, ooh, it was not configured right for that at all. And so I had to go digging through config files, and it was a rough ride. It was a rough ride.
Chat reminds us Cliffy B was only 19 when he made this game. He was a young protege.
You could tell.
Yeah. Yeah. He went on to, don't forget, man, Gears of War, Unreal, Tournament, other shit.
The other shit.
Is a very, very successful, dude in the industry. Did real well for himself.
Yeah. And, Jazz Jackrabbit's not bad. It's Holiday Hair, 1994.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Now, here's a game I always hated. I'm going to admit it now. Not a fan. I think it's an important series. I think it led to other things, but boy, howdy, did I hate it.
Fascinating.
Here you go. Enjoy. This music is the freaking worst. Lemmings. Lemmings made a Christmas game. All right.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's based on the original Lemmings engine. They made more than just one.
Scott. Oh, there were so many Lemmings games.
Yeah, they made the holidays. It was either Christmas, according to your region, it was either Holiday Lemmings or it was going to be Christmas Lemmings. They made like two demos, and then they made like two full games of this. And I'm with you, Scott. I thought I had played Lemmings, the first gaming engine. I had thought I had played it on the first gaming engine. I apparently have not, because I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, nothing made sense. I played some Lemmings since then, but probably more in the modern sense. And man, was this gets the hardest award, because my God, it was so hard. And it's not because necessarily that the idea is hard of trying to keep Lemmings, assign Lemmings jobs and try to keep them from killing themselves. It's because the graphics that you have to know what you want to assign to each one of them, the job assignment, and is represented by an icon with no text on it, and the icons don't make any sense. And so it's just this trial and error of what does that make them do?
Yeah.
That didn't work.
At least I had my head around it pretty good back in the day. It kind of reminded me of, if you could compare it to anything today, it'd be like almost the opposite of tower defense, but kind of has some tower defense aspects to it.
Yeah, because part of it is automated, and you're trying to manipulate the environment or have some of the characters do specific jobs that will allow everybody to auto walk to certain areas.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, there's something to that where I get excited and go, ooh, I get to basically decide this outcome. I don't know, Lemmings and I had a moment, and then we broke up, and I never liked it again.
I had trouble. I couldn't tell if my frustration was with the game or if my frustration was with the fact that I was having so much trouble with my DOS box setup. This person's doing some smart things I didn't think to do, who's playing right now. They were using this Lemming to put the brakes on some of these guys, and I just couldn't seem to get it figured out. But by the time I got through, I was like, okay, I kind of want to play this, but kind of like on the scale of sometimes I want to play Minesweeper.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good way of putting it.
It's like that looks. I might have an itch one day to play some Minesweeper, and maybe I'll have some itch to play some.
And maybe I will as well. Yeah. But right now, not really my thing. I do like these sounds here at the end. Here, hold on a second. Where are we? Here we go. I like that sound. Don't know why. Just a big fan of it.
I'm not sure which one you grabbed it from. Did you grab it from the DOS version, the Mac version, or the Amiga version?
This was the DOS. Let me make sure. Yeah, DOS version for this one.
Yeah, I thought the way it sounded was probably that 1994. I wonder what the Amiga sounded like.
It's Holiday Lemmings, you guys. That's what that was.
Holiday Lemmings or Christmas Lemmings, if according to where you live.
Now, the one that made me the most uncomfortable that we looked at this week. I don't know why. There's something about the model for the Grinch that I could not get over. I can't explain it.
Yeah. This is the one that this is the bridge that we kind of teeter on and play retro is the PlayStation the Grinch from 2000. And the graphics are, like Scott said, uncomfortable.
They're very uncomfortable. Here's some audio from it. You get a good look at the video here as well. It's the music's fine. It's suitable. It's like, oh, sneaking around doing stuff because I'm the Grinch.
I'm the Grinch.
He looks like a wet pickle. I don't like him at all. Don't like it at all. I fired this up. This crashed on me over and over. I couldn't get it to work.
Right.
And I was playing it on a PC because my Steam Deck is somewhere else. So I couldn't do anything. But they know where it is because I told everybody. Anyway, I couldn't get it to work, or I would have given this a little bit more time. But I can tell you from watching some video of a run of it, I think this is an ugly game.
It is absolutely an ugly game, but it's doing something that we finally start getting around to early 2000s, which is, you know, a consistent game that can match up with the movie. So if you'd watched The Grinch from that era with Jim Carrey, this game mechanic is based on the part of the movie where Grinch goes around Whoville and sabotages Christmas.
Yeah, which is a fun concept for a game.
A fun concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a game, I like it. Yeah. I will say that they only have some sound clips, but they could be Click Carry or they might not be. I don't know, because it's all yelling. It's like, bah! But I can't tell if it's him. His face, though, if you turn around, you can't tell in this video, but if you turn the camera around and look at his face real close, it's weird. It's like they scanned it from the film and like pasted it on top. It's really weird.
It is pretty terrifying. But, you know, did Ron Howard direct that movie?
He did. Yeah, it was Ron Howard joint.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. No. It is interesting.
Some people love that film. I don't want to besmirch them. They're a good time. I can't stand it. I hate it. And I don't know why. I don't even have a good answer. Yeah. I like Jim Carrey. I like Ron Howard. I like the other people in the cast. I like the concept of The Grinch. Did not like that movie. I just don't think you live action The Grinch. I think that's my problem.
It's tough. It's tough because it is kind of like Ron Howard if he was trying to imitate Tim Burton, right? It's kind of odd.
Good way of putting it. But I just have such love for the Chuck Jones original animation and the book, of course. And I also love the more recent CG one. I really liked
the one with
Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch. I haven't actually watched that one yet.
I like it. It's good.
I watched part of it. And something happened, and I wasn't able to finish it, and it's on my Christmas list this year to watch.
I won't say it's perfect, but I had a good time with it.
That's the Illumination one, right?
I think Sony Illumination, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. They're the same people that are making the Mario movie did that.
Yeah. And the Minions and all that stuff.
It's okay. Again, I wouldn't seek it out necessarily, but it's out there.
Yeah. I put this as the most forgotten because I only saw this on a couple of people's Christmas list of games from Christmas. I looked at about four or five different articles. By the way, thank you so much to the community who sent me several different articles, and I found out a whole bunch of Christmas games I had no idea about. And you've heard what we've done so far today, but if you go to, I think it's myabandonware.com, mm-hmm. and you look for, I believe, let me take a look, where's my little list at here. I think they have themes, and if you look for I got it here it is. I'll look it up here. So go to myabandonware.com and go to the search and look up the theme for Christmas, and you will find a lot of these games. These games typically they're abandoned, right? Because they're not really for making money. Therefore, stunts essentially for the most part.
So right.
You'll find a lot of those there. Most, like DOS, Amiga, a lot of those games that we talked about.
The reason that these are special one-offs or oftentimes just mods added to existing games, the Knights is a good example, Duke Nukem's a good example, is because just market conditions are not going to support a game that is 100% Christmas themed for how long it takes to develop a game then or now. And to put that out there into the world and say, here's the game and you're going to want to play it all year. I just don't think it fits, So it's hard to do. That's why I think the fact that these exist at all is kind of miraculous and kind of cool.
Yeah.
Which is why we're covering.
And I only want to play them once a year anyway. So
yeah, you're only going to play them that one month. So why not? All right.
You don't want that sitting on your shelf during, in July. You got to put that away until you got to put in all the other Christmas stuff in a little box in your garage.
That's right.
Forget about it.
You might get you get 3 months out of what's it called? Nightmare Before Christmas. You could do three months out of that. Yeah. But the rest of it, like nobody makes a game around Easter. That'd be terrible.
They made a couple of movies like Hop and stuff, but yeah, that's a tough. I can't even watch that. Wasn't there like The Guardians or something too? They did that for a couple of years with not that many years ago, where they tried to make all the holiday movies every holiday.
Would not surprise me. No. Real quick, we do want to mention a couple of weird ones. that are not available or were not. There's a game called Days Before Christmas, D-A-Z-E. This was a Norwegian company we all know now as Funcom. They still exist. Mm-hmm. They make MMOs and stuff. Mega Drive. This was published by Sunsoft in 94, but this was exclusively in Australia. It was ported to the Super NES and released in Europe and Australia, but North America was canceled. They never got it. We never got it.
Yeah, probably because it took too long. It's probably like February. Yep. They finally get around to it. And it's like, nobody wants this in February.
Nobody's going
to
buy your Christmas game.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does, actually. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think I would play this if I, well, I could probably find the ROM, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. I'd almost play this one. I said, my plate's pretty full. So I said, I'll just mention this one.
The other ones worth mentioning are Snatcher for the Sega CD. This was a early Hideo Kojima project. Mm-hmm. And the setting was Neo Kobe, Japan,
yeah, Neo Kobe.
During Christmas, right? Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's just like one area in the Snatcher Sega CD, and it's like a everything's themed like that. And I put a link to the music in there from the YouTube channel because I thought it was pretty freaking sweet. But it's a Jingle Bell 2042 song. Yes.
Yeah, baby. Hey, I know you like Death Stranding 1. Are you excited about the sequel that got announced last week? Or how are you feeling about that?
I'm pretty excited about it. I know people give it a hard time saying it's a walking simulator, but, you know, so.
It's like shipping. Don't drop your packages. Weird story.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it's
shipping.
Weird. You got to kind of like balance your character with weight. If you never played Death Stranding and you're not a modern gamer much, basically it is kind of a walking simulator because what you're doing is you're trying to collect as many things to transport, and you got to do walking with it, and so you got to balance it, and so you can't have your character like fall over, so you have to, there's like this whole balancing act thing while doing a million other things as well. But yeah, I like it.
It's a thing that exists, and it's very weird. And then finally, I think we cannot, you know, just to jump on the dog pile that is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Well, it's maybe even a Christmas video game. Die Hard Trilogy for the PlayStation, 1996. I think it ended up on the Saturn as well. And
I think you're right.
Oh, somewhere else.
Yeah, I think there was one more place. It would have been of that era, right?
It would arcade?
Have been Saturn,
was it arcade?
PlayStation.
Was it arcade?
I think it was actually a portable, wasn't it? Was it like on the... Was it on game?
Ah, damn it. I don't remember. Okay, I'm going to find out. Here we go. PlayStation, it's on PC, I guess. Saturn, PlayStation, and Windows. That was it.
Oh, okay, then I was wrong.
Anyway, originally 96 for the PlayStation, and then later on Windows and Sega Saturn in 97. It is, it's the Die Hard trilogy, and as part of it, you spend a bunch of time in the first movie's setting, and as a result, you see a lot of Christmas shit.
You get your Christmas stuff. Part of it's like, I think it's different games together, too. It's like, I think the shooter part is the most Christmassy, because I think a lot of the characters are dressed up in... I think it's like Santa's you have to avoid shooting and that
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of mall Santa types that are actually terrorists. Yeah. You got to fight them.
Mall Santa types.
It's those games are pretty fun. They're all right.
I love Die Hard Trilogy cover box, which you're just showing. Yeah. What was it said? The what? It says the amazing.
Hold on, I'll pull it up here. It says, oh gosh.
What was the subtext of that?
Here it is. Three maximum adventures. One
maximum
explosive
adventures.
One explosive package. And then, by the way, all the E's for some reason are all capitalized. The letter E.
Yeah. That makes sense.
What's that about?
Die Hardy. I don't know.
I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me. Look at that. Three with the two E's, maximum adventure.
Yeah.
E. It's like all these E's are all capitalized.
Yeah. That's weird.
90s,
man.
90s. That's what was going on.
Weird. I like it.
Do you hear my dogs? Hold on. Do you hear that?
I can barely hear it. Yeah, just
they're
barely.
Howling.
Are they barking? Are they barking jingle bells? Have you listened to the? Is it jingle bells that the dog choir does? Because there's a cat version too, right?
Is there?
Meow meow meow.
Oh, that seems like yours. I hate that stuff so bad. Animal based songs where they do the barks and I hate it, dude. I hate it so much. I hate it. It's one of my worst holiday pet peeves. Yes. The worst. Dogs don't deserve that kind of ridicule. It's horrible.
I love it.
All right. Well, that is your look at some Christmas games of yesteryear, and we hope you enjoy
Merry
it.
Christmas
Merry
all.
Christmas to everybody. May your Christmases be white. All right. Look at this. we're gonna press on through and do what we always do, which is this.
Destroy it.
This is time for Guess My Game. It's a segment where we play audio from an old game and try to stump each other as to what it might be. I'm going to start. Came out in 2000. Game Boy Color.
Oh, Game Boy Color. Maybe it's one of the games that I got.
Oh, maybe. Maybe not, though. But let's find out. I'll play the audio. You see if you can guess. Here you go.
Oh, this... Wait. I know that song, but the other part's trashy, whatever it is.
I know. That's the problem with it is there's like the sound effects are also music sounds, and so it sounds really weird. Like that is also the brrrt when he does stuff. Well, there's a hint. There's a guy doing stuff. There's a hint. Platformer.
There's a guy doing stuff.
Platformer with some verticality. That's your other hint. Verticality platforming.
Hard Hat Harry?
Nope. I'll give you another hint.
This guy, that's vertical, and he's got he's doing stuff.
You're not wrong. I'll give you another hint. It's a Nintendo IP.
It's a Nintendo IP. Mario doing something?
I'll give you one last hint. He's one of my favorite ancillary Mario characters, Nintendo characters.
Oh, so this has got to be Wario World Land. What is it?
I'm gonna have to give it to you. That's pretty good. Wario Land 3 is the
three. There you go.
The game, and I like Wario Land games.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The fourth one for the SNES is, or no, GBA, I think, is my favorite. Those were always portable games. They never put them on.
We're gonna tackle the Wario series at some point.
We just got to talk about all things Wario. I love him.
Agreed.
Because you know what he'd say? Am I gonna win? That's what he'd say.
But we're not gonna talk about Waluigi.
No, he sucks. He's a dick. All right.
Screw that.
Moving on, Brian. I'm gonna play yours. I'm gonna call that a win for you. So I got my work cut out for me.
I'll take my win.
All right. What do you got? What's my setup here? What's the deal?
The year is 1990, and we're on the NES, Nintendo Entertainment Center, just like we heard at our system. Excuse me, just like we heard at the top of the show.
Center. That'd be the NEC, Center. And then that's the a whole
NEC.
Different.
Brand. I know. NES.
That'd be the TurboGrafx. All right. Here we go. I'm gonna play it. Let's see what we get. Jeez. NES?
NES. I want to say it also made it to the Commodore 64, TurboGrafx 16, and the DOS.
Give me another hint. Give me like a...
Let's see. What if I told you the designer was Tony Van? Probably wouldn't mean anything to
Tony
you, right?
Tony Van?
Yeah. How about it was developed by Pac-In Video?
Pac-In Video?
Yeah.
That definitely doesn't help me.
How about as a shooter?
Side-scrolling shooter? I see.
And it's a side-scrolling shooter and platform. And
platformer.
Right.
Secret Agent Joe and his misadventures in Happy Place Land. I don't know.
What if I told you part of it was... It occurred during Christmas.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn it.
During Christmas?
Yeah. What if I told you it took place at a certain tower?
Oh, is this... This is the Die Hard game?
This is the Die Hard game on the NES.
An NES Die Hard game? Well, shit.
Yeah.
Gosh dang it. I gotta see this. Die Hard.
Yes. Oh, my God. And we get some of these great still scenes that are just fantastic. The cut scenes are the best.
Oh, look at that dude, Theo. The guy that played Theo just passed away just recently. Oh look at that. Top
pixel
down.
Art. Whoa. Yeah, it was top down. The pixel art of some of it is. The pixel art of the actors are amazing. So there's some Bruce Willis pixel art that is incredible in betweens.
Did they call it, what was it, Nakatomi Plaza, Nakatomi Tower? What'd they call it?
Oh, did I say, that's right. I think you might be
right.
Well,
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I don't actually know. You may not be wrong.
They referred to it as both, I think, didn't they? At different point in times.
It's like a top-down bullet hell thing. Oh, look at that thing. Look at Bruce.
Oh, go back.
Look at Bruce. That's what I say. Look at that. Look at those cut scenes. Look at that.
Go back to him and see that again. There he is.
Maybe there's a computer that controls the express elevator. Hey, welcome to the party, pal.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the whole reason to play this game, to get those cutscenes.
Is he barefoot?
They're amazing. I'm assuming so. I don't think they showed it.
Yeah, it looks like...
Is that a leg? Is that a wiener?
What I don't know. It looks like his ween, doesn't it? Yeah. It's hard to tell because it's kind of top-down-ish.
Well, that's amazing. I didn't know this was even a game. This is news to me.
Yeah, when I was exploring, I was like, what? There was one in the game?
Ooh, we got some more art. What's this one say? Wait, go back. John uses the first aid kit to help ease the pain in his feet.
Yes.
Well, that's the truth. I'm going to capture that out just for fun. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. I love that. Very good pick. You also threw me because I should have thought. I should have known. It includes Christmas. Duh. Durr. All right. Durr. Well done. That was real good. Let's do this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Time for emails. Play retro show at gmail.com. I say, I'm doing like Foghorn Leghorn over here. Play retro show at gmail.com is where these go. And we got one from Nate at that very self same address. And he says this: hey, love the show. I have listened to all the episodes and have shared it with many. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Isn't that nice? That spread the word, man. Thank you, Nate.
Be like Nate.
Says, can you talk a bit about rubber banding? This is new to me. Yes. At first, I thought you meant literally using a rubber band to hold down the stick in a position or something, but you also seem to imply that it was more generally used as a cheat or strategy. Thanks. So here's how rubber banding works. We'll use Mario Kart 64 as an example because it's the best one, probably.
And that's what we was talking about, too. I think it's probably brought the subject.
And it was egregious at doing it. It really pissed me off and was known for this. But anyway, let's say you're having a race. And you look down at the minimap and you notice, boy, I'm doing all right. I'm like lap two.
I'm in first place.
It's lap two. These guys are 12 car lengths behind me, all wadded up, trying to catch up. It's going good. And then without them using power-ups, without anybody having a blue shell or any of that stuff, you would suddenly notice, like, let's say Yoshi, his little dot going really quickly toward the end of the race when you're about to cross the finish line, or a little bit before your third lap, let's say. Suddenly, Yoshi's got all kinds of gumption that he didn't have before, and he's right on your ass. The same thing happened. So that's one example of rubber banding. And he will often, sometimes he'll win or knock you out of place or whatever, but he's just magically catching up. It's an AI crutch.
It's the game trying to balance so that no one individual like has a blowout, right? It's kind of like, the game trying to balance all the players through what seems like cheating methods, because you haven't changed your gameplay. So that's what's frustrating to the gamer. The gamer has not changed their gameplay, yet their position is suddenly challenged.
Yeah, except freaking Yoshi, suddenly on steroids and can do whatever he wants. So conversely,
if you fall behind, you will suddenly find that you're picking up all the right pickups.
Yeah.
And that thing, the game is you know, it's the shell game. It seems like you're always winning.
Right.
What pops up.
Right. And so it does kind of have the reverse effect as well. It's just kind of a crutchy way to balance the game. And many racing games, including Mario Kart, do way better now at how they do this. Just better AI, better scaling, better everything.
Early basketball sports games.
I was going to mention that. NBA Jam, horrible example of this, or egregious example of this, because they did it for quarters, and a lot of arcade games did this. Instead of ramping up difficulty in a traditional way, toward the end of the fourth quarter, you start missing easy shots, and there's no explanation for it. Just out of the rim. Your percentage of making shots goes down. And the other team is making way more. And if they're behind, they're catching up like crazy and you're missing every bomb you throw. So it's that. Now, sometimes it's that. It's a reason to get more quarters. Or in the case of Mario Kart, it's just not great AI. Yeah.
It's a solution, or it's one solution for an imbalance in a game to make it even. But it's frustrating to the gamer because it feels like the game is cheating.
Well, comment of the show is Icor, who says, back in my day, we called that bullshit.
That's bullshit. That's exactly what we would say. We would throw the controller down. That's
bullshit. We would. I'd do it today.
I went three laps in first place. Yeah. And now Yoshi, who is last, is right on my butt.
Yeah, he's going peep, peep, pew, peep, pew, and he's up there. Screw that guy. Anyway, thanks for the email, Nate. Hopefully that helps clarify that. We also got a text that came to us at 801-471-0462. This is from Condor Felt.
Oh, Condor Felty Condor.
It's a weird name. I mean, no offense. It's just odd. He says, hello, Scott and Brian. I love retro games, but there are times I go back to old stuff and end up having a bad time. How much of your love of retro gaming is about the nostalgia we feel about them when we were there? Condor. I think that happens a lot. There are cases where it doesn't happen, and I'm amazed how well something held up, and I get really hooked on it and play it, or things I missed and I really get into now. But there are games. I'll give you an example. I felt this really acutely when I played the 7-Up spot games. What was it called? Cool Spot. Remember that?
Cool Spot. Yes.
Kim, yummy. Sorry, my wife brought me food.
Oh, is it Cool Spot?
I'm so excited. Cool Spot, yes. And Cool Spot was a game that I loved when it was out and played the hell out of it and thought, this is so cool. And then it came out in that form. Or I played it recently for the show, and I went, ugh, I don't want to play this. It's bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. We've gotten better at these. It's not as fun as I thought it was. So
I think it's kind of like this. Mm. This is how I always look at retro games and retro anything. If you eat McDonald's every day, you may find affinity towards the nuggets and you'll be like, oh, these nuggets are great.
Yeah.
But then if you stop eating McDonald's for a couple of years and you eat somewhere else, it's much better. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I miss those McDonald's nuggets. They were fantastic. And you go back and eat them. They're going to taste like crap.
Yeah.
Now, if you start eating McDonald's again, which is basically what I've done, I've started playing way more retro games. And the more you eat the McDonald's retro game meal, the more you start going, oh, yeah, this is what I appreciated about this game.
Well, so there's one that I'm actually afraid of, and we haven't covered it yet, and I think we're going to probably at one point we'll do an Earthworm Jim retrospective.
When we do, I'm nervous, dude. I played Earthworm Jim like a year ago when we first started talking about doing Play Retro. That was one of the first ones I thought of. That and Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
And I played both those games, and I was like, oh, I don't think so.
I know, right? I mean, but, I love them.
But then I played a month ago after eating at McDonald's for a year. And I'm like, I kind of like this.
Yeah, no. See, that's the other thing. It depends on your gaming trajectory. If you're like super into AAA titles of the modern era, you may find that nothing will work for you the way it used to because you're now in the new place enjoying what new stuff there is. But if you get in that retro mindset, I think there's gold to be dug around there.
But nostalgia is usually the thing. That's usually the siren's call that get us to go play it. Because it's like that song you haven't heard in forever. And it comes on and just brings back all the memories and everything else. That's how those games are, too. And when you try to revisit it, it's difficult. And unless you spend a good bit of time, you have to like reimmerse yourself into it.
I agree.
That's how I find joy in it.
I agree. Condor, I hope that helps answer your question, and I hope you find old games that you like. I will say this for Nintendo, their older games, especially like the Zeldas and the Marios and whatever, stuff holds up like nothing else. Does. It's perfect today as it was then. So,
and the reason why is because Nintendo always used mature ideas. And I don't mean like mature as in, hey, you've got your humor is very mature. I mean, they used mature technology, mature gaming mechanics.
Right.
They did things that they knew already worked, and they weren't trying to push the edge, unlike some of the Christmas games we talked about today, like that weird Grinchy game. Ugh. It was trying to, it was trying to push the edge. And so anytime you're out there, you're
the wet pickle goes to Whoville's, what they should have called that. Wet hairy pickle. I don't like it.
Wet hairy pickle.
All right. Well done. That's great. And please keep those texts coming. 801-471-0462. You can text us anytime there, and we'll be happy to read them on the show. You can also keep emailing us at playretroshow@gmail.com. Our next big coverage next week will be, I can't believe we're finally doing this, Gauntlet 1 and 2.
Yes. And I'm going to try to play those ports too, but we're focused on Gauntlet 1 and 2, and I can't wait. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. I love the Gauntlet series. My favorite game series of all time is Diablo, but it doesn't exist without Gauntlet. Yeah. Like, Gauntlet started so much for dungeon crawlers and game space and stuff. Freaking love it. That's also one of the games when I go back to Gauntlet 1 I don't enjoy very much. I try.
Yeah. But Brian needs Gauntlet badly.
Badly. You're a Valkyrie now. Anyway, we'll do that next week. Gauntlet 1 and 2. So prepare thine selves. for that. In the meantime, I want to thank a brand new person who just showed up at the party here today on,
yes,
on our Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. It's Nick O. We'll assume it's Offerman, Nick, the great actor Nick Offerman,
yes,
has joined us. And Nick O, it's welcome to the party. It's good to have you here. You are going to benefit in great ways, including no commercials ever, monthly benefits, and pre-show content every week, and more. So go check it out at patreon.com/play.
And you patron retro supporters are going to get some more exclusive content coming this near the end of this month. I'll have a couple of days off from my day job. And so I've got a lot of things to mess with.
I'm excited. Can't wait to hear it.
I am too.
So huge thanks to him and everybody who supports us over there. Really appreciate it. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. Once again, is that email address. And don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at PlayRetroShow. You can also find us on the web, frogpants.com/playretro. And leave us reviews when you are on your various podcast directory type things. Always helps us get discovered, and tell your friends also. That'd be nice. That's going to do it for us.
Be like Nate.
Yeah, be like Nate, everybody. Be like Nate. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Why do they have to walk that fast?
I don't know.
I love that so much.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.